Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Alan Quist, and of course he is a professor, teaches the university level, college level, and he's back there in Minnesota. And so, Alan, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, Dr. Stan, the pleasure, as always, is mine.
And of course, Alan works with a group called Educational Watch, or Education Watch, and it used to be Mr. Edco, but as they've changed the name, but it's still a group of people back there who are very, very concerned about the No Child Left Behind program. Now, if you're out in the listening audience, you may think, I mean, this is really wonderful. The federal governments are going to really make sure that the educational system works. They're going to be sure it works, but not to the benefit of our children, because the whole purpose of No Child Left Behind is to change the attitudes and the values and beliefs of our children away from America, away from our traditional form of government, away from love of country and love of God and love of family, to embrace new ideas. Those would be the New World Order and the New World Religion. So without further ado, Alan, tell us what's going on in the world today from the educational point of view and from the point of view of your group up there in Minnesota.
Well, yeah, in Minnesota, you know, Minnesota is at this point the only state to have thrown out what we call the federal curriculum. These are the federal standards. They're curriculum standards, and they basically specify what schools have to teach in literature, in history, in civics, in science, and so on. And the content of this national curriculum or the national standards is very radical. And part of it in math, for instance, is integrated math, and a little bit later on I'd like to get into what that is, what integrated math is. But anyway, Minnesota threw out the federal curriculum a year ago. And so here, as of about 6 weeks ago, we adopted a new state curriculum, or it's known as new state standards. But under No Child Left Behind, every state has to have standards, and essentially the standards specify what you teach. And so that's the curriculum. And so anyway, we've made some improvements. For instance, the new Minnesota standards stipulate that there is such a thing as truth, and the Declaration of Independence, as you know, says that there are certain self-evident truths, and the liberals, of course, don't want to recognize genuine truth. They just want to say, well, they're ideas. So we were able to get truth into the standards. We were able to get unalienable rights into the standards. So this is pretty good progress. None of these things were there before. The really interesting thing, though, Dr. Stan, is that the Senate, which is controlled by the Democratic Party and works closely with the CCE, where they absolutely wouldn't budge, was on the issue of national sovereignty. The Republican House wanted to have national sovereignty into the standards. The Democratic Senate absolutely refused.
Well, I would think that that would play pretty well with the coming election, you know, pointing out that these people, that these Democrats, have no loyalty to America. They want to do away with our sovereignty and merge us into this world government, whereas I suspect that 90% of the people, or at least 80%, wouldn't agree with them.
Absolutely. And see, this is the first time they've had to vote on any of these things. And so you had amendments put up on the Senate to put national sovereignty into the standards. All the Democrats voted no.
Hold that thought for just a minute. Well, our guest is Alan Quist. We're talking about what happened there and the vote. And the Democrats all voted. Was it a unanimous Democrat vote against the maintenance of national sovereignty to be taught in our schools?
That's exactly right. 100% party line. The Democrats voted against including national sovereignty in what is taught in the schools.
And I think that's really so important that people understand this is what they're teaching not only in Minnesota but all across America. There is an organized effort to destroy belief in America in our educational system. That's what the federal standards are really all about. And the last thing that the Republican administration in Washington, D.C. Wants the people to know is they want exactly the same things that the Democrats do. As far as indoctrination of our children in this idea of the New World Order.
Well, it's really interesting because in the past, none of these legislators in Minnesota had to vote specifically on any of these things in the standards. They never had to vote on national sovereignty, on inalienable rights, and the like. And I doubt if there is one state in the union other than Minnesota where the elected officials have had to cast a vote that we're going to teach national sovereignty or we aren't. And, of course, this is one of the things that has to happen in all 50 states, that the representatives have to cast their vote. So imagine now these senators going back for re-election in Minnesota. That's 2 years away. But going back for re-election and their challenger saying, this senator voted against teaching national sovereignty.
And, you know, the thing, what's really so interesting is the average citizen, you know, holds certain values. The elite, the politicians, hold different values. And until people understand that these people have gained control over us, and they aren't representing us. They're representing, well, who's ever putting up the big bucks to get them elected.
That's exactly what they're doing. So, anyway, it's going to be interesting here, you know. In Minnesota, a number of elected officials have gotten voted out of office on the federal education system, and some very good people, one of them being Senator Michelle Bachmann, who's now pushing the Defense of Marriage amendment to our state constitution. But some very good people have come into office on these issues, too. This is what has to happen in every state, and this is what has to happen at the federal level, that the elected officials have to be required to vote by amendments, whatever it takes, and then we have to start running people who believe in America, who believe in our principles, to run against these bad eggs and get some good people in office.
Well, you know,
it can be done.
I think it's so interesting that the McCain-Feingold bill really didn't have anything to do with soft money. That was a conscious effort to keep any effort to tell the public how their elected representative had voted from the people. In other words, what most people don't know, understand, is the McCain-Feingold bill is a total abridgment of the right of freedom of speech, and the whole idea was that these, if you were an organization and you wanted to tell the people in your district how your congressman had voted or your senator had voted, you can't do that. That becomes a federal crime. You can't tell them within 60 days of the election because that's the time when people are really interested in what's going on. So, you know, during an election cycle, you're not allowed to say, and I think the one thing that our elected representatives fear more than anything is that the public will learn how they really vote.
It is interesting, isn't it, Dr. Stan? The left always clamors for freedom of speech, but of course they really don't believe it. I mean, they really want only themselves to have freedom of speech, and they don't want anybody else to be able to expose who they are and what their records are. So you ask what's been happening, and one of the things that continues to be a big issue in education is the whole matter of integrated math. And if this is a good time, I would love to tell our listeners a little bit about what integrated math is all about.
I think this is the best time I can imagine.
Okay, let's do it. Anyway, the reason that this continues to be a hot-ass issue is that New York City, just a few weeks ago, they apparently have a citywide school board system that makes the decisions. New York City just several weeks ago decided to adopt an integrated math program. Now this is instead of traditional math, it's integrated math. And let me explain very briefly what that means. It means that classes like algebra and geometry are combined. You don't take a class in algebra A class in geometry, you take it all together. And so consequently, you don't have the nice, tight, logical sequences that you do, that you have when you take them separately. So anyway, it's integrated in that sense. But another way it's integrated is that the civics curriculum, which for, let's just say, is the multicultural curriculum, the Hate America curriculum, the No National Sovereignty curriculum, this is taught in math classes. So obviously there isn't nearly as much time to teach real math if you're teaching multiculturalism and all the radical politics. The third thing that is taught is things have to be very much related to a student's real life. And so the student's life and the math are integrated. Well, the effect of it is that students don't have time to learn a lot of the basic formulas, a lot of the sequences, a lot of the logical sequences. They don't learn the arithmetic tables, or very, very few of them. They use calculators at a very early age. And as a result, students don't get the math background that they should have. Now, there are all kinds of studies at the university level that are determining that if a student has had integrated math, they go to a college and university, chances are they cannot do college-level math. And so you've got approximately one-third now, including now New York has just come in, of the students in our schools being taught integrated math instead of traditional math, and this one-third of the students are unable to do college-level mathematics. And so the first problem is a lot of them can't get in because you have to have a certain competency in mathematics to be admitted. But then those that are admitted aren't in a position to take anything relating let's say, medicine, or related to engineering, or related to chemistry, or any of the sciences, because they don't have the math background. So basically a third of our students are being cheated out of the opportunity to be successful, first of all, to be admitted to college, and then secondly, to be successful. So integrated math is part of the federal curriculum. It's based on what's known as the NCTM standards, the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics. It's the federal curriculum. I talked to a McGraw-Hill book salesman a couple of months ago, Dr. Stan, about integrated math, and this is what he told me. He said, "We know integrated math is inferior. The only reason we carry books in it is because some schools want it." Then he went on to say that if his children had been in a school where they were teaching integrated math, he would have left. He would have moved into a different community because he knew how bad it was. So you've got the federal government pushing a program that cheats our kids out of a decent math education and the opportunity for many of them to go to college and be successful. The National Science Foundation has spent $1 billion developing and promoting integrated math. The National Science Foundation is just an arm of the federal government. So we've got $1 billion of our tax money being used to destroy the education opportunity of many of our children. Well, okay, now, that's how bad it is.
But this would appear to be a conscious, intentional effort to dumb down our children.
It is that. And so anyway, one of the things I've been doing for the last few weeks is I've been researching integrated math. I mean, what is this all about? And the interesting, well, a lot of interesting things about it, but, you know, the most interesting thing about it, in my view, Dr. Stan, is that it is all based on the theory and thought of an Italian Marxist by the name of Antonio Gramsci.
Good old Antonio Gramsci.
That's right.
He was around during the Second World War, wasn't he?
That's correct. Right.
Didn't Mussolini put him in prison there?
That's right. Most of the papers he wrote from prison.
And, of course, he really believed that this was a very effective means of destroying a capitalist society. He was one of these people who realized if you could destroy the foundation of the beliefs of the people, you could destroy the nation.
The difference he had with Karl Marx is Karl Marx said that it's the economics that controlled life. And Karl Marx said if we just have socialism, then everything will be fine. Gramsci is a Marxist, but he disagreed with that part. He said, no, it's not the economics that controls life, it's the culture. And so Gramsci undertook to change the culture. And how do you change the culture? Well, when he was in prison, Antonio Gramsci wrote a paper of about 22 pages. It's called On Education. Okay, On Education. In this paper that he called On Education, all of the fundamental principles of integrated math are described in detail. So integrated math is nothing more than taking what this Marxist said and putting it in textbook form in the form of mathematics. And of course it doesn't work. I mean, Marxism has never worked any place else. Why would we expect it to work here?
Well, but if you wanted to destroy the society, then it would work very efficiently.
That's
and what
right.
I think the average individual finds it very difficult to believe. There really could be people so wicked that they would want to destroy our society, and yet look at what's happening to our society today. What's MTV? What's so many of the sitcoms that we have today that glorify homosexuality and promiscuity and vulgarity and the language that's being used, and our children are hearing it? If you wanted to destroy a society, I don't think you could do a much better job than we're doing right today, whether it be certainly in our schools and even sometimes in our churches.
Absolutely. You know, two generations ago, that Dr. Carl Menninger of the Menninger Clinic, someone who I'm sure you're familiar with, Dr. Stan, wrote his book, Whatever Happened to Sin. And in this book, he described how the word sin had disappeared from the public vocabulary. And he predicted that if sin disappears from the public vocabulary, the next thing that's going to disappear is the word evil. And sure enough, one generation later, the word evil had disappeared. Everything was inappropriate or appropriate, but nothing was evil. And the fact of the matter is, there is genuine evil in the world, and there is genuine good in the world, and not everyone means well, even though we hear that all the time. Oh, everybody means well. No, they don't mean well. There is such a thing as evil, and there is such a thing as sin. And but because we as a culture, as a society, no longer recognize genuine evil and genuine sin, we are incredibly vulnerable to the attacks, to the things that undermine us as a people and as a country, because we don't we aren't forewarned. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. We're not forewarned.
You know, two generations ago, people understood what this battle was all about. They believed in sin. They believed that there was a God, or they believed that there was a devil. They believed in hell and eternal punishment if you did not abide by God's rules. But we seem to have forgotten that in our churches, in our schools. As somebody said the other day, we certainly would never allow a child to read the Bible in school, but we'll let them read the Bible in prison. And what's wrong with a society that will keep the Bible out of schools but allow it in prison? Well, they know, of course, that the Bible will help the prisoner to be more, go along with the system far better. But why not allow that in our schools? Because, a lot of the kids who never learn right and wrong in schools are going to end up in prison.
Unfortunately, that's true.
And that's why we have over 2 million people in prisons today, and about at least a third of our young black people, young black men, are either in prison or probation or parole. The end result of a failed educational system, or maybe the end result of a very successful educational system, depending on which direction you're looking at it from.
And that's right. Well, Antonio Gramsci wanted to set up a worldwide Marxist system. And he and others have targeted the United States. I mean, they know that the United States is the only real barrier to their utopian dream of a worldwide Marxist system. And so naturally, they target the United States. And their primary means of targeting the United States is through the education system, because they recognize that's how you change the culture. That's what Gramsci said. You change the culture by transformational education. That term goes back to Gramsci.
And what you do is you end up demoralizing the people, disillusioning the people, discouraging the people to the point where they no longer really have anything to believe in. They believe society's failed. There's nothing wrong with America. It's the greatest nation there's ever been. It's simply the people of great wealth who seem to have gained control of our foundations and certainly the reins of government, who have a different agenda. We're going to be back here in just a moment or two with our special guest, Alan Quist, Professor Alan Quist, and we'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Alan Quist, teaches up there in Minneapolis. So, really, it's frightening to imagine what is happening to these young people. Now, what's going to happen as far as the integrated math, as far as the new curriculum that's being put in up there in Minneapolis, or Minnesota?
Well, one of the things that we did, Dr. Stan, is we adopted new math standards a year ago. And the new math standards do not conform to integrated math. But what happened under Goals 2000, and this happened all over the country, is that when Goals 2000 came out, about a year later, Minnesota adopted math standards that were the integrated math standards. So through all the schools knew, okay, our students are going to be taught on integrated math. And so, of course, that was a powerful incentive for schools to adopt integrated math, because this is what our kids are going to be—they're going to be tested on. And so, if they're going to be tested on integrated math, this is what we're going to teach. So, the new standards do not conform to integrated math. And so, in Minnesota, we now have at least the trend. I wish we were able to just throw integrated math out in a year, but at least we have the trend where schools are realizing that integrated math is a disaster. They're not going to be tested on integrated math. They're going to be tested on traditional math. So we're in the process of getting rid of it. But it's a slow process. California, in contrast, which essentially adopts a statewide curriculum that is required of schools, California, and I believe now that this is 7 years ago, threw out integrated math lock, stock, and barrel. They had been the first, California was the first state to adopt it. And that would have been in about 92 or so. But they adopted it statewide, and their math scores went down, 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 down. So by 97, they said enough is enough, and they threw it out. By the way, when they were talking about throwing out integrated math, the National Science Foundation threatened the state of California and threatened to withhold all of the National Science Foundation money which was about $5 billion, huge amount of money, going to California if California went back to traditional math. I mean, that's how corrupt this whole system became.
In other words, they're withholding our own money to punish us for not going along with their corrupting plan.
That's right, and for going back to a system that is by far a better system. So anyway, the California School Board, regardless, threw out integrated math because it's such a disaster. And since they did so in 1997, the math scores of the California kids have been steadily coming up year after year after year. Now, they've got a long ways to go, but at least they threw out this terribly bad system.
Well, I'm certainly pleased to hear that, because that would have been under Pete Wilson's regime. I don't know what they did as far as Gray Davis's regime, because he was the one, the education governor. He was going to introduce phonics into all of our schools and get our testing up. Well, what they did was they refused to, the teachers refused to do it, and of course they dumbed down the tests so they got better scores, but the kids really aren't any smarter, or they're not getting any better education. Well, what about the rest of the country? What are they doing as far as the integrated math? What are they doing as far as the rest of this No Child Left Behind program, which is so intent upon destroying the foundations of our educational system?
Well, as far as integrated math goes, about a third of all the math classes that are taught are integrated math. And, you know, obviously this is more advanced in some states than others. In New York, now being as the whole city of New York has adopted integrated math, you know, I expect it's very advanced there. Being as California's thrown it out, you know, they don't have it.
Hold, right now. We're bringing our other stations back online. Of course, our guest this evening, Alan Quist, we're talking about integrated math, and really is a totally corrupt system aimed at dumbing down our children so they really will never succeed, because they won't have a sound basis in mathematics, and they're never taught to use their mind. They're taught how to use a calculator, but if you don't use a mind, it just doesn't work. So Alan is mentioning that in New York now, under Bloomberg, who's promised he's going to get the educational system really efficient, and they've even got an educational czar, they're actually bringing this in. Now, I thought Bloomberg had promised that he was going to straighten out the educational system.
Well, maybe he sees this as the way to straighten it out, but one of the things that's operating here is certainly the negative influence of No Child Left Behind, because the No Child Left Behind bill which all 50 states are under, not because they want to be, but because the federal government has said that they will lose all their federal education money if they don't participate. And so you have this thing forced on the states, really, by the federal government. But anyway, No Child Left Behind sets up a system where the efforts of the schools have to be targeted at the lowest achieving students. And it's the question, can you manage a tide so that the small ships are raised more than the big ships? And of course you can't do that. But that's what No Child Left Behind requires. You have to target the low achieving students. And so some people in the education circles have come to the conclusion, wrongly so, but have come to the conclusion that integrated math is a way of reaching the low-achieving students, even though the average students and even though the gifted students are going to be harmed very much by it, that they hope that these low-achieving students will be helped. And unfortunately, that's not going to be the case. But this is what their thinking is. And so you've got a bad system in No Child Left Behind that forces schools to focus their attentions only, really, on the low-achieving students, and the others are immaterial insofar as No Child Left Behind is concerned. So that's probably part of what's going on in New York.
Well, certainly we heard Governor Davis talking about how important education was, and everybody agreed with him, but of course his solutions just compounded the problem. And this obviously is what Bloomberg has done in New York City. He said what people believe, and then done exactly the opposite from what he should have done, but he has the power, and he has the power to destroy the lives of these children. What a terrible thing it is to intentionally dumb down children, because this program is not going to work, never can work, and as Alan says, it is the product of a man named Gramsci, and he knew exactly what he was doing. He hated America, he hated freedom, he hated humanity, which is so common among so many of the people who embrace these Marxist concepts. Well, have you had any luck in getting this information into other areas so that people will know the origin of this concept of integrated mathematics?
Well, I am currently working on it, Dr. Stan, and as you know, 2 years ago I published my book on a new federal curriculum. It's called Fed Ed, the New Federal Curriculum and How It's Enforced, and we've now sold, what, about 16 or 17,000 copies of that, so, I mean, that's quite a few.
We carry that. In fact, we encourage people to read that. That's called Fed Ed, and if you are out there in the listening audience and haven't read it, shame on you. It's the best book on the subject. In fact, Phyllis Schlafly said it's one of the most important books of our time, and I agree with her.
So I'm getting close to being able to publish my next book, which I'm calling The Battle for America. And this book deals with a number, it really picks up where Fed Ed leaves off, and it picks up a number of topics. One of them is integrated math. In fact, integrated math is chapter 2. And chapter 3 is postmodernism, which is related to integrated math. And then chapter 4 is a chapter on Antonio Gramsci, the Italian Marxist. And so chapters 2, 3, and 4 all describe integrated math. I include numerous studies, numerous quotations from people at the college level, at the university level, simply saying, if we get kids who've taken integrated math, we know they are not going to succeed at college math. And there are all kinds of studies that show that. And so in these chapters, I deal with integrated math in great detail. And the amazing thing, Dr. Stan, and, you know, I mean, my work is always kind of cutting edge, but to the best of my knowledge, this is the first piece that in detail is going to show the relationship between integrated math and Antonio Gramsci. And, I mean, it's a perfect fit. The glove fits the hand without a wrinkle.
Well, if you... What's that old saying? If the gloves don't fit, you got to quit. No. Well, as soon as you get that book finished, of course, we want to get a copy, and then we'll get you on and try to get it out across America. Mm-hmm. Well, our guest this evening is Alan Quist. We're going to be talking for the rest of this hour about the No Child Left Behind program, a federal program aimed at corrupting and destroying the intellect of your child. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Alan Quist, and we're talking about this whole idea of integrated math, and of course there is an organized plan to dumb down children. Now, a lot of the people who embrace these things, you know, are sort of awed by these people with degrees, and especially if they work for government. And we are here, you know, we are so much smarter than you are. We know exactly what you're doing. Well, look at the SAT scores of the American children and compare them with the rest of the world. You could not do as bad a job as we have done, unintentionally. So, Alan, what about the other states? Now, you mentioned that California is doing pretty well, but do you have groups in other states that are picking up on what's going on and getting the word out?
Well, we do. We probably have groups in, I would say, 8 or 10 other states, but our organization here just a few days ago, and this is EdWatch, and of course we started in Minnesota, just a few days ago made the decision to do everything possible to become a national organization. And we've had quite a bit of success in Minnesota. We've made some significant improvements. We have a long ways to go. But nothing is happening at the national level that is any way similar to what we've been able to accomplish here in Minnesota. And it's something like this, Dr. Stan, what I'll call the other side, the radicals, and they are radicals. They're Marxists, many of them. They are like a team on a football field in a game, and they just run up and down the field and score points because there's no other team on the field. And so we have come to the conclusion that those of us who believe in real academic education, who believe in America, who believe in knowledge and learning, need to put a team on the field in Washington, D.C. You know, the other side is really a paper tiger to a large degree. I mean, they're never opposed. They never have to vote. And all of a sudden, if they're opposed, they find that they have some very, very difficult sledding. So this is our goal, to put a team on the field in Washington, D.C. and start informing our elected officials there. Most of them have no idea what's going on. Start informing them about what's really happening, including integrated math, including the underlying philosophy of No Child Left Behind. It's all, I mean, No Child Left Behind is all Antonio Gramsci. It's the whole worldview of Gramsci put in the form of a federal education bill. So we need to start getting information into the hands of our elected officials. You know, there are some very good elected officials in Washington. I wouldn't want to give a percentage estimate, but there are some very good ones.
Well,
most
sure
of them have no idea what's happening.
Well, I think that really the important thing is, of course, to get good people elected, and the people who are elected, and maybe they're good, they need to be informed. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Alan Quist. And before I go on, let's get your website out and your email or whatever else you'd like, so that people will know how to get in touch with you and your Education Watch organization, or your EdWatch organization.
Okay, the easiest way to reach us is at our website, and that's simply EdWatch, EdWatch, EdWatch.org. And our phone number is 952-361-4931. That is 952-361-4931. And so people can reach us by phone or otherwise by accessing our website. It's probably the easiest way.
All right, fine. And so certainly the group up there, Alan and Julie Quist and Senator Michelle Bachmann and Michael Chapman and the others, they're doing a great job. They're really having a tremendous impact on their state, and they're not that many of them, but once they get the truth out, why people do listen, and they were able actually to do away at least with the federal standards, and they bring in the state standards, certainly not perfect, but at least a big improvement over what they had before.
At least we've turned the corner, and at least we're going in the right direction, and that's big. And we have to keep going in that direction.
All right. Well, you know, I think it's so important that our listeners do get a copy of your book. It's called Fed Ed. That's Fed Ed. And actually, we have not only the book, we have a 4-tape set we put together, interviews with Alan and with Julie Quist and with Senator Michelle Bachman, and then, of course, with Michael Chapman. You need to get that four-tape set. You need to understand what's happening. You need to understand that this is not happening by accident. There is a plan. There is a master plan. The people on the other side know what they're doing. The one thing they do not want is for the public to learn what they're doing. Our telephone number out across America is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. And what a terrible thing it is to take away from a child the ability to read, and they've dumbed them down so that so many of them cannot read or read well, and they've done that by taking away phonics out of our schools and putting in a system that they knew would not work, and now they're, of course, altering the way they teach mathematics and of course, civics. And, Alan, as you pointed out before, the civics program of No Child Left Behind, put out by the federal government, really is more or less centered around the idea of doing away with the federal government as we know it and sort of merging it into a world government. Would you like to discuss that at all, or is there something else you'd like to talk about?
Oh, sure. No, sure. Let's take that up. In 1994, when the three bills were passed, Goals 2000, School to Work, and then the funding bill, which is known as H.R. 6, when these three bills were passed, these three bills authorized one non-governmental organization, one NGO called the Center for Civic Education, to write the curriculum for civics and government for every school in the nation. They were funded. They were authorized to write the curriculum. Nobody had a chance to put in a bid. There was no review of elected officials, no public comment, nothing. They were given the authority, the right, the money to write the curriculum. And this group has written a curriculum that is calculated from beginning to end to undermine all of the foundational principles of the United States of America. Number one, of course, being national sovereignty. And so they were also authorized to write a textbook. This textbook is called We the People, the Citizen, and the Constitution. And because this is subsidized by our tax money, a teacher can buy this textbook for $10 a book. My students buy textbooks that they usually pay about $65 for. But this textbook, you can't. And so it shows what a corrupt system this is. This textbook, We the People, a Citizen of the Constitution, a textbook on American government, never once mentions national sovereignty. It is out of sight and out of mind. Everything is global issues, global concerns, the UN's Universal Declaration of Human Rights is held up as being superior to our own Bill of Rights. National sovereignty isn't there. Unalienable rights isn't there. The right to bear arms isn't there. The right to life disappears as the book goes on. And here's another thing. The pro-life organizations need to figure out that they're giving away the store by not dealing with what's happening in education. So it's a radical program. It's insider politics, all calculated to undermine the United States of America. Our tax money is funding it. It's being forced on every school in the nation. That's how bad it is.
Well, I was just reading something that H.G. Wells had written back in 1933. It was called The Shape of Things to Come. And, of course, as you know, Wells was a socialist, associated with a socialist. And in this novel, he talks about, of course, the period of 1970, 1980. And he said by then, of course, you've had a generation of young people that have lost all of their sense of values. And now, of course, they'll be willing to go along with this idea of this world government, which was what he was actually pushing throughout his book and through so many of his books. So they recognized that if you could gain control of the education, you could gain control of the mind of the children. Gain control of the mind of the children while you have shaped the society in the next generation.
That's exactly right. And by the way, one of the real good indications of the success that the radicals have had in the educational program in the past is just look at the last presidential election. Ralph Nader, who is as radical as you can get, nationwide got between 2-3% of the vote. Of voters under 30, Ralph Nader had 10% of the vote. That's where all his votes came from. And why are people so crazy enough to vote for I mean, somebody that's just off the edge, like Ralph Nader, it's obviously because of our education system. I mean, they have learned their lessons well.
Well, I remember when I graduated from college. I mean, I really believed in socialism. I had no idea there was anything wrong with the United Nations. I believed that it was the responsibility of government to provide for the people. And I look back on those days and say, how could I have ever been so naive to have accepted the basic philosophy of fascism? But that is what I was taught at the University of California and dutifully rewarded for accepting their lies. I was not educated. I was indoctrinated. And nothing has changed. It still goes on in the schools today, in the colleges, only I'm sure it's far worse today than when I went to school. It must be an exciting thing for your students to hear something different because, you know, in most classes they'll get the same material, you know, and of course it never varies. But when they come to your classes, don't they hear a different story?
Well, this is why I love teaching, Dr. Stan, is because I get students that have been indoctrinated you know, with all these radical ideas for 12 or 13 years. And when I get them, I mean, all I do is give, is tell the truth and give the information. And of course, it takes a while. You know, people don't change their attitudes overnight. But I just continually give people information. And I don't, you know, I don't make my case, for why they should be pro-American. Why they should believe in national sovereignty. I just give them information, and the information speaks for itself. In that connection, you know, this, my book, Fat Ed, has been out now for, well, it's about 18 to 20 months. There have been a lot of reviews written by, one was written by Paul Gottfried of the Hudson Institute, very scholarly individual. One was written by the Von Mises Institute there in California. And it's interesting because every one of the reviews, everyone says that everything in this book is true. And a number of the reviewers said they checked it out. They said, boy, nobody is saying this. So they went to the sources, they went to the websites, they read the documents. Every review has said everything in this book is true. And by the way, I've received contacts from hundreds and hundreds of people who have read this. And Dr. Stan, nobody questions the accuracy of what's in that book. And the same thing is going to be true of the book that I'm writing now. I mean, none of this information is controversial. I mean, I'm just a reporter. I just say, hey, here's the information. I mean, here's what the document says. Here's what the international agreements say. Here's what No Child Left Behind says. Here's what Antonio Gramsci said. Here's what integrated mass says. Here's how it works. All I do is give information, and the information speaks for itself.
Well, I think what the average citizen must understand is that the No Child Left Behind program was Ted Kennedy's program, but he couldn't get it through. The Republicans and the Bush administration got through Ted Kennedy's program. So we better start taking a serious look at what's going on in the world today, and maybe, just maybe, it really doesn't make a lot of difference. It certainly makes a difference at the state level, but not so much at the national level when you have two parties that seem to be both going the same way as far as education and so many other issues are concerned. But then I think it's so vitally important that people get informed and then help us inform others. Now, certainly one of the things I was so interested in, you know, when your Fed Ed book, you talked about, you know, how they just deleted any mention of the Second Amendment. In other words, the right to keep and bear arms, and how they actually looked at the Bill of Rights in our Constitution, which is really a limitation on the power of government. It basically, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, and the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be abridged. The Bill of Rights was a restrictive covenant when the restrictions were placed on the federal government. Whereas apparently the No Child Left Behind program and the textbooks that they advocate tell us how wonderful the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights is, because it guarantees us all these things, unless, of course, it varies with national or international policy. Would you like to develop that idea? Because I think it's so important how, you know, they confuse the children. They really don't understand our freedom come from God. Whatever freedoms you have into this new system they're moving us into comes at the behest and with the permission of the ruling elite.
Yeah, you know, I'm I am one of these people who believe that truth is naturally more persuasive than error. You know, our whole system, free system, is based on that, free debate. Our court system, let each side have their day in court, and because truth is more persuasive than error, a jury is normally going to vote on the side of truth. And so the radicals in education recognize this, the truth is naturally more persuasive than error, and so they've devised a system where the children never hear the truth. I mean, they never get the straight information. For instance, this matter of the Second Amendment, as you point out, you have a textbook that never mentions the Second Amendment. And so imagine a teacher, now of course I play the role of that teacher in my classes, but imagine a teacher who calls that to the attention of the students that, by the way, here's this section on the Bill of Rights. Go to the description of the Second Amendment. I mean, that's Amendment 2 in the Bill of Rights, and read what it says. And then the students start looking, and they can't find it. And see, this is what I do in my classes, too. I tell students to go to the appendix and read the definition of national sovereignty. And they page to the appendix, and they all have these blank looks on their face. And I say, was that in the appendix? Oh, okay, go to the index then, so to find out which page is on. So then they page the index for national sovereignty, and I say, you know, Jenny, what pages do we look for to read about national sovereignty? And Jenny says, you know what? National sovereignty isn't in the index either. See, I mean, people just need to—they just need to see the truth, and this is what I do in my classes. I mean, I don't argue; I just point out the information, and I do the same thing, of course, with natural law and unalienable rights. You know, go to the index, and of course, these things aren't there, Dr. Stan.
Yeah, of course, the natural nature's law and nature's God were the very foundations of our Declaration of Independence. Our Declaration was built upon the concepts of John Locke. And the opening paragraph talks about nature's God and nature's law. And that was the fact that there was a natural law. There was a law that God had laid down that had to do with all human beings and nature itself. Everything is in being in perfect order. And with that as an opening phrase in our Declaration of Independence, you know, if you take these concepts away from our people, they don't understand. Our children do not understand that there is a natural law. There is a God. And our freedoms come from God. But they're not even allowed to mention God in school today.
Absolutely. So one of the chapters I have in my new book is called The 12 Pillars of Freedom. And this chapter just takes the Declaration of Independence point by point and explains what the principles of freedom are as described in the Declaration of Independence. And it takes, for instance, paragraph 1, one in the course of human events, and paragraph 1 very emphatically puts forward two principles. The first principle is national sovereignty. The second principle is natural law, that there is a universal standard of right and wrong that governs all people, all cultures, all governments, all societies. So I just go through the Declaration and I just pull these out one at a time, the 12 pillars of freedom. And it's interesting, you know, as I go around and speak around the country, which I do a lot of, and when I take about 10 minutes to go over these 12 pillars of freedom, it's interesting to see how people react, because Dr. Stan, their eyes get as big as saucers, they get out their pencils and pens if they aren't out already, and they start writing. I mean, this is so simple, this is so basic, but Dr. Stan, almost no one knows what this is.
This is
new material.
Well, would you be willing to come on to some of our programs and talk about these 12 pillars of freedom?
We go right down the line, all 12, one after the other.
Well, I think it's important that we teach people about the Declaration. The Declaration was the foundation of our way of life. And those concepts really are why so many people throughout the entire world have always marveled at America. And certainly the Declaration was the first part of the Constitution. They're separate documents, but the Constitution was how you're going to implement these concepts of our Declaration of Independence, the foundation of our freedom. And there were people in Europe who said, how did they ever come up with anything this amazing? And it truly is amazing. The problem is that people don't understand that freedom can be lost when good people aren't involved, and freedom, once lost, will never be regained.
the students in China at Tiananmen Square, when they looked the communist guns, the communists in the eye, and looked at the barrels pointing at them, held our Declaration of Independence in their hands. That's what they held in their hands. And we as Americans need to learn from them what we have been given and what we need to cherish and protect.
And I wonder how many Americans today would be willing to look into the muzzle of a gun and profess and insist that we are Americans. We were born free. We were born with a heritage. And there are people who hate that heritage, who hate freedom, who really want to install an authoritarian society, not only in America, but throughout the world. And America is the last barrier to the establishment of this new world order, this new world religion. And it's about time that we rekindle that flickering flame of freedom that I fear is about to be extinguished. We need to get people to understand that all the material things that they have really are unimportant because they will all be lost once freedom is lost.
Very true, Dr. Stan.
You never saw anybody on their way to the prison or to the concentration camp or to the gallows with a U-Haul trailer coming behind them. Okay, well, we got about 3 minutes. What are the parting thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners this evening?
Well, you know, the Declaration of Independence begins with national sovereignty. It ends with divine sovereignty. It ends with divine providence. And it ends with an affirmation that the colonists made, that they recognized that there is a God, a creator God in the heavens, who ultimately decides the fate of every country and ultimately determines whether a country succeeds or not. And in a final analysis, we as the United States are not going to be protected by our military forces, by our economy, by our wisdom. In the final analysis, we as a country will be protected only by the will of Almighty God. And the most important thing for us is to be in God's will, to be on our knees in prayer before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and asking for His guidance, His protection, and His good graces. Because that is the bottom line. And the people that formed our country knew it. They knew it very, very clearly. They staked their lives and their fortunes and their sacred honor on it. And we as Americans today need to do the same.
Well, I believe we're entering tumultuous times. I believe that they wrote, these are the times that try men's souls. Those were Thomas Paine's words. Some of the things he wrote were beautiful. I would disagree with what energized him, but I certainly would agree that there are sunshine soldiers who will be in the battle for a short period of time and then leave, whereas we need people who are in this for the long haul, because we have no other place to go. There's no other country to flee to. If America falls, then Western civilization falls. And if Western civilization falls, I fear that there will be a return to barbarism. Alan, I appreciate everything you've done, and give my best to Julie, and just hang in there, and I'll give you a call off the air, and I would like to spend an evening just going over point by point those 12 points of the Declaration of Independence, the foundations of our freedom.
Very good, Dr. Stan. God bless.
God bless you, too. Good night, Alan.
Good night.
Okay, fine, and let me just mention that if you'd like to get the book Alan has written, or a four-tape set based upon that book, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. The book is Fed Ed, because that's what we have. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind listeners out across America and around the world that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you agree with us, our position, that we're involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political and ideological and cultural and educational and financial and even now today a military battlefield, if you believe that America, if it is lost, will mark the end of civilization as we know it, and the world will be plunged once again into the Dark Ages, as it was when Rome fell, that we hope that many of you will decide you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and it's as easy to do as just picking up your telephone and calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, we'd be glad to send you one, and you can find out a little bit more about what we believe, but perhaps you'd even like to go up to our website. It's www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And, of course, we're not the government Radio Liberty. We are the Freedoms Radio Liberty. And if you'll find there the various items we have in the way of tape sets, in the way of videos, in the way of books, and other educational material, you'll find our newsletters going back to the mid-1990s. And there's a lot of great information in there. And I will tell you that I keep some of those letters just beside me when I'm writing some of the quotations. They're just good to look back on, and the sources of documentation. So I think you will learn from those letters. Now, you're welcome to pull them down off the Internet. You can bind them, you can copy them, you can distribute them. We can provide them to you bound, but that's quite a job for us. But we do that for some people who like bound copies of our material. And then, of course, we would hope that you would tell others about our radio programs. And you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet, 3 hours on Radio Liberty, 2 hours on Genesis, and 1 hour on the American Freedom Network, and all the links are there. And, of course, we hope that you'll make it a point to encourage others to go to our website, to listen to our programs, to challenge these basic concepts. But, you know, when people hear the truth, when people study the foundations of our freedom, when people come to realize that liberty and limited government are synonymous, and that tyranny and total government are synonymous, and the purpose of America was to limit the power of the central government, to have matters dealing with life, liberty, and property dealt with at the state and the local level. And you say, well, what happens if the state is corrupt? Well, you can stay and try to change it, or you can, of course, move to another state. You've got those options. What happens when the federal government becomes corrupt? When you have the finest politicians that money can buy? When you have politicians who have no loyalty to America, but their loyalty is to this internationalist dream? And when both political parties are under the same identical control? Incidentally, I don't know how many of you know what the Bilderbergers are, but the Bilderbergers are the extension above the Council on Foreign Relations, parallel with the Trilateral Commission, that the meetings of the people who rule the world, David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger. But at the latest meeting that's being held over in Europe at the present time, these are secret meetings that are never mentioned in the media here today. Who do you think the United States Senator is they involved? Just think, which United States Senator would they have invited? Why, his name is Edwards. He was running for the presidency. I just wonder if maybe he's going to be the next vice presidential pick nomination. It's going to be interesting to see. But why would they ask Edwards to come? Why? Because he has a following. Because, of course, people will follow him, and he's being inducted into the center of the power structure of this nation. So there's an interesting article up on WorldNet Daily. You can pull that down if you have access to the Internet. Going into the Bilderberger meeting and some of the people who were attending, this is where the elite meet to plan our future. Well, we ask you, of course, to remember our number. It's 1-800-544-8927. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival for our leaders and ministers. But please remember to pray for our ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so, until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us this evening Lindsay Williams, and Lindsay was a chaplain on the oil pipeline that was built up on Prudhoe Bay back in the early 1970s, and he has an amazing story to tell. And those of you who have not heard him before and his story of the energy non-crisis, I think will be fascinated by our program tonight. On another book he has written called The Syndrome of Power. Lindsay, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, Dr. Stan, thank you for allowing me the privilege of being on your program tonight to deal with a subject that positively is not illusion. My book, Syndrome of Control, was written as a result of my literally being there, sitting in the board meetings, rubbing shoulders with those who are the most powerful, controlling, manipulative people on the face of the earth. And after 3 years of being with these people, I felt that I had a moral obligation to tell the American people and the world how they think, the mindset, how these people, it's difficult for the average American to understand how anybody could be so diabolically wicked and could control nations and presidents and currencies and in the way that they do. And that is what the book of Syndrome of Control is about.
All right, fine. Of course, why don't you, for our listeners who do not know you, why don't you give them the background of how it was that you happened to be sitting at the board meetings of these various great oil companies that were involved in building the pipeline. Now, you had actually, as a chaplain of the Lord, and you'd been sent up there by your church to work with these people, and there were about, 25,000 men working on the pipeline?
Yes, I was a missionary in the state of Alaska in 1970, and that was the year that they announced they were going to build the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. That's the biggest and most expensive project ever undertaken by private enterprise in the history of the world. $12 billion was spent in 3 years' time by 9 major oil companies that went together to form Alaska Pipeline Service Company. And I went to the oil companies and I said, 25,000 pipeliners, surely you must need a chaplain. And at first of all, they laughed at me. They said, we never had a chaplain on any pipeline in the world. We wouldn't know what to do with you. And I said, well, no problem. Just allow me there, and I'll make my own way. Well, finally, after many, many visits, they said, okay, we'll give you the Prudhoe Bay area. Now, that's where the big oil field is, right on the Arctic Ocean and down to Galbraith Lake, where the Brooks Mountains are. And they said, we'll give you those 7 work camps, and you just do what you can. Well, about 6 months later, Mr. R.H. King, the personnel relations man with Alaska Pipeline Service Company, came to me, and he said, Lindsay, you are saving us thousands of dollars of counseling fees, and he said, you're helping the atmosphere in the camps. We would like to give you executive status. We've just voted to do that, if you wish. And I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, we'd like you to go any place you'd like, see anything you want to see. We'll give you an executive pass. And we'd like to invite you to sit in on our board meetings in an advisory capacity in order to help the relationship between management and labor. Now, this was strictly the providence of God. There's no other way to describe it. I could not, if I had tried, had an opportunity to ever rub shoulders with the most powerful, controlling people on the face of the earth, the ones who control nations and currencies and presidents. And what I saw and heard for the next 3 years, as I stayed in the same dorms with and lived in the same area with and sat across the table from at dinner and sat in board meetings with these powerful men, and what I heard and saw changed my life. If someone had asked me in 1970, Lindsay Williams, do you believe there's a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world, I would have laughed at them and said, who are you, a John Bircher? If someone had asked me in 1980, do you believe there's such a group of people on the face of the earth that control presidents and currencies and nations and congresses and governments, I would have said, not only do I believe it, I sat and listened to them talk about it. I'll never forget one night. I had been in a board meeting that day. I'd rubbed shoulders with a number of these people. I had helped to host some dignitaries who came to the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. And that evening, I was so appalled at what I had seen. Now, mind you, I had been a Baptist minister for probably 25 years. And I went back to my dorm room that night. I lay down on my bed, looked up at the ceiling, and I said, oh, God, I can't believe that there's such a group of people on the face of the earth who literally control the world. And they do. They control. There's nothing happens by chance. Everything happens by design plan. Even the oil crisis of today, it's not by chance. It's happening by design. I mean, this is not illusion. This is for real. There literally is a group of people on the face of the earth who control the entire world. You say, well, OPEC determines the price of a barrel of oil and therefore the price of that gallon of gasoline at the pump. No, they don't. OPEC doesn't have a thing in the world to do with that. The Arabs don't have anything to do with it. It's controlled by the people who sit behind the computers in New York and London every day and tell the Arabs what they're going to give them for that barrel of oil. And I just saw some figures that startled me this past week. It was said that any time gasoline at the gas pump goes to over $2 per gallon, the power controllers of the world are making $60 billion per year. Anytime it goes over $2 a gallon at the gas pump, $60 billion a year, and that is a form of taxation of the American people and the American economy. So the price of that gallon of gasoline at the gas pump is a form of taxation. Now, if they came in and said, we're going to tax you on your income so much and go give it to the World Bank, every one of us would protest. But yet, whenever they do it at the gas pump, we sit back and say, well, what are we going to do about this? Well, you say, Lindry, are you sure that these things are true? I lived it. I was there. I sat in their board meetings. I rubbed shoulders with them for 3 years. And therefore, I felt that I must tell it, and that's what is described in my book, Syndrome of Control. It is not fiction. It is fact.
Well, now, of course, didn't Congressman George Hansen give you some of that information? Congressman George Hansen was on the House Banking Committee, a senior member of the House Banking Committee. He had served his state of Idaho for many years, and faithfully, he was an honest man. Of course, that's why eventually they had to destroy him, and the government did. They came up with trumped-up charges and sent him off to prison and tortured him for 10 years. And then at the end of 10 years, the Supreme Court said, oh, shucks, they had no authorization. Well, let's let him go and, remove the whole thing. They destroyed his health, his family, his finances. And then they said, gee, we never should have done it. Sorry, George, we'll let you out of prison now. But this is the way they operate. And he was tortured. He went to Congress and showed people the scars that he had on his body from the tortures and scared the rest of Congress to the point where so few of them are willing to take a stand because they realize that no matter what you do, they can get you. They can always change the laws. They can come up with a corrupt judge. You'll be attacked by the Wall Street Journal. You'll be attacked by the New York Times. And I can remember those articles in the Wall Street Journal. Most people think it's a conservative publication. It's an establishment publication, and they were attacked viciously, George Hansen. Why? Well, he was running for Congress after he'd been indicted. He almost won. In fact, I'm not sure they didn't rig the election because, after all, they had to destroy him because he had actually was talking about how the Iran hostage crisis had been manipulated. Why don't you tell what you have learned about this group and what Congressman Hansen wrote in your book? He writes the chapter on the Iran hostage crisis. Why don't you give the background on that, Lindsay?
Congressman George Hansen was still in the Congress of the United States of America, and it so happened that I was on a speaking tour in Texas, and Congressman George Hansen and I were speakers in some of the same conferences together. And one night, after we both had listened to each other's lecture and were very making good friendship and were very pleased with what each one was saying, and Congressman George Hansen came to me and he said, Lindsay, I'd like to give you some information if you're crazy enough to put it in a book. I said, well, sure. What do you mean? He said, well, I wouldn't dare write it for anything. But he said, if you're crazy enough to write it, I'll give it to you. He sat down with a tape recorder and dictated probably one-third of my book, Syndrome of Control, was literally dictated by Congressman George Hansen. And you're correct. Anytime they don't like someone, they don't like what they're doing, they find a way to destroy them. And this is the reason that so many people are afraid of them. And they can do this because the name of the game is control. It's not necessarily a matter of money. These people have all the money in the world. They could write $1 million a day for the rest of their life, and they still would have plenty left over. So what is it? It's a matter of control of people and manipulation of nations. And nothing happens in our government except that they control it. So, yes, Congressman George Hansen, that's exactly what happened to him. He was willing to tell the truth. He was a very honest man. And as a result, you will find some fascinating information that he gave in my book, Syndrome of Control.
All right. Well, could you give us some examples of some of the things that he brought out? The thing that's so important is that he was a senior member of the House Banking Committee, and so much of what's going on all centers around money and banking.
It all centers around money. Let me give you one example that I think the average person in the listening audience tonight could very well relate to. Let's take, for instance, South America and the country of Brazil. Brazil, of course, was in the process of building Brasilia and developing their country, and the Amazon River Basin is there. And Brazil was having some real financial problems many years ago, and they needed a line of credit. They needed some money. So they went to the World Bank, and they said, we'd like to borrow so many millions of dollars. And so the World Bank said, oh, yes, we'll just be more than happy to give you a line of credit. Now, a line of credit from the World Bank is nothing but a computer entry which allows Brazil to spend so many millions or billions of dollars. But the World Bank said, sure, we'll be more than happy to give it to you, but we must have some collateral for that money. You may remember when you went down to borrow money on that house, and the bank said, yes, we'll loan you the money, but we must have the house as collateral until the day that you make the last payment, and if you default on so many payments, we'll take the house back over again and give you nothing for what you've already put into it. Well, Brazil said, sure, we'll be glad to give you some collateral. They were quite sure, as wealthy as they are, natural resources that they have, that they could do something about it. So they gave them, as collateral, the entire Amazon River Basin. Well, you guessed it. A few years later, exactly as the World Bank knew it would happen, because they knew the way the world economy was going, after all the other ones that control it, they said, Brazil said, we're giving out of money. We need a few more million, or a few more billion. And so the World Bank said, oh, yes, we'll just be more than happy to let you have it. But you remember that collateral you gave us on the last loan, which, of course, you can't pay off, and now you're asking for more? We'd like to take that collateral over the Amazon River Basin. Now, the World Bank got the Amazon River Basin, probably the wealthiest land on the face of this earth, with diamonds and gold and timber and everything imaginable, and rainforest, all the rest of it. And what did they give them for it? Nothing but a computer entry, a line of credit. And for that, the World Bank was able to take some of the richest land in the world, the Amazon River Basin. Now, this is the way they work. This is the way they're doing the United States of America right now. They're creating a crisis in oil and energy so they can raise the price to where they want it, so that they make so many billions more. The American people are bowing for it, and here at the gas pump, we are paying a form of taxation to the World Bank, for it winds up right in their pocket. The same thing that they've done all through time, a matter of control and manipulation of nations and currencies and people and presidents.
Of course, my view of what's going on at the present time is it's really an organized effort to impoverish the American people, because the American people, America, it was the last point of freedom in the world, really the highest development of Western civilization. And, you know, there is a plan. It is to redistribute the wealth of nations. And, of course, what nations they're talking about? Well, who wants to redistribute the wealth of Nigeria or most of the African countries? The only country that really has a great deal of wealth and a really prosperous middle class is the United States. And so we're in the process of redistributing the wealth of the people of this country. And then, of course, as they run the prices up ever higher for gas, for gasoline and oil and natural gas. And we did a program earlier today where they're talking about the shortages of natural gas. It's gone from about $2 a 1,000 cubic feet up to $6.50. And they're talking about going to $10 or $12 for that same thing within the next year or so. They're talking about oil going $50, maybe even $100 a barrel. And as we'll talk perhaps a little later, there is plenty of oil up in the North Slope, off the North Slope at a place called Gull Island, and I've verified that fact. If you read Lindsay Williams' book, The Energy Non-Crisis, he talks about this massive pool of oil off the North Slope around some place called Gulf Island. That part of the book was actually written by an executive from Atlantic Richfield, they were punishing, and they'd fired because he had let Lindsay Williams know what was up there. And then, of course, after this gentleman actually rewrote Lindsay Williams' book and put this material out, they figured it would be far better off to have him on their payroll where they could keep him quiet than out telling the truth about the fact that they were hiding massive oil reserves. And so they took him back and gave him a job. But the story is so incredible, and I'm going to let Lindsay tell it, that I actually checked with one of the men he mentions. I will not mention his name, but I actually tracked down this oil executive who was there with Lindsay, and he verified everything Lindsay had said and said, I don't know why they haven't tapped that a massive oil reserve up there around Gull Island. But it's been there for 30 years. They know it's there. Why don't you tell that story, Lindsay? I think it's so important that people understand that this whole current oil shortage is contrived, and yet it would take, you know, another 5 years or maybe even 10 years to rebuild, put in the parallel oil pipeline and the gas line. We should have done it 10 years ago, but they've specifically blocked the development because they want the crisis, and I believe they want to impoverish the American people. But tell the story of Gull Island, would you?
It is a fascinating story. In fact, the only place on the face of this earth that you will find recorded and documented the story of Gull Island is in my book, Energy Non-Crisis, because just after I saw it, it was classified. And here's the way it worked. I remember I walked into ARCO base camp one day, and Mr. Jim Lawler was standing there, and he said, Lindsay, would you like to see something interesting today? And I said, I surely would. I'm always interested in things exciting. And he said, come on, jump in the pickup truck, and let's go out to the place where they bring the big flotilla in every year, the big dock out towards the Arctic Ocean. And I said, fine. We drove out, and he looked at a little island about a mile and a half to 2 miles out in the Arctic Ocean. And he said, that's Gull Island. We've been drilling there. We know we have found something. We know the general area as to how big the oil pool is. He said, we're going to release some oil from that today, check the pressure, check the oil, chemical analysis. So at about that time, a big plume of this stuff went up into the sky. They'd burn it off back in those days. And he watched it for a few moments. The longer he watched, the more excited he got. He said, come on, let's get in the truck and head back to base camp. We went back to ARCO base camp, and here was Jim Lawlin, Ken Fromm, and a whole bunch of oil company executives standing around a table, and they were excited looking at some documents that were coming in and maps and so on. And they didn't mind. Here, I was the chaplain. They were more than happy to have me come in and look. And I looked at, oh, my goodness, will they get excited. Finally, Mr. Ken Fromm looked over at me, and he said, Lindsay, we have just done it. I said, Ken, what have you done? He said, we have just struck the largest pool of oil on the face of the earth. He said, it positively is the largest pool of oil in the United States of America. And he said, look at all of this. And he began giving me all of these technical details that I didn't know a thing about as to perforation to the pipe and how deep it was and the pressure of the field and how much the oil could be refined here and yon and sulfur content and so on. And they were so excited that day they didn't know what to do. He said, Lindsay, we are energy independent. And that's the story of Gull Island recorded in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, and not one drop of it is yet to be allowed to be brought to the American people while we're paying so much for gasoline.
And didn't Mr. Fromm actually write that chapter and then another chapter in your book later on after he was fired by the company?
Yes, he did, and we'll tell that story in a moment when we come back on.
All right, fine. We'll be back here in just a moment with Lindsay Williams, and Lindsay will tell you how to get these books a little later. But you need to get them. You need to understand that everything is manipulated. Everything is controlled. The plan to impoverish the American people, destroy the foundations of our freedom and our national sovereignty, and move us into the New World Order, the New World Religion. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and Lindsay, why don't you go ahead and tell the rest of the story of what happened that day?
Well, Dr. Stan, the story of Gull Island is a story that's fascinating in that just after we saw what I saw, I went back to my dorm room that night, and I thought, well, the first thing in the morning, I'm going to get up and go back to base camp and look at the headlines on the newspaper. I'm quite sure it's going to be America is energy independent, the largest pool of oil around. I remember that morning I got up early, went to base camp. The security guard caught me at the front door. Just as I walked in, he said, go up to Ken Fromm's office and sit down. He said, don't talk to anybody. I said, what's the matter? He said, just go up there and sit down. In a moment or two, Ken Fromm walked in, and he closed the door and had somewhat of a frown on his face as he said, Lindsay, I think I'd be very careful about what I say about Gull Island. He said, we have just classified that information. He said, the oil will not be produced anytime soon. And he said, you better be careful about what you say. I said, Ken, this can't be. I said, America can become energy independent. Let's build two more pipelines down that same corridor and provide the American people with what we need from our own soil at a good price. He said, Lindsay, not now or anytime soon. Well, after the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline was over, I decided that a moral obligation that I had as a Christian, I must tell the American people the truth regardless of what it costs. And I wrote the manuscript to my book, Energy and on Crisis. Well, just after it came out, it became a bestseller in a very short period of time. And Ken Fromm called me up on the phone one day, and he said, Lindsay, I have just been fired from Atlantic Richfield. I said, what? You're only a few years away from retirement, and they fired you? He said, yes, I've just been fired. And he said, I am so angry at my company for what they've done. He said, this has been a lifetime job. And he said, I was the first one to help produce Prudhoe Bay and the first refinery up here. And he said, I am so angry about this. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, there are a few little mistakes in your book, Energy Non-Crisis, the first edition. And he said, I want to correct every one of them. I'd like to rewrite that book for you and make it picture perfect so that they can never discredit you in any way. I said, Ken, I'd love it. Well, he did. In fact, he helped write the chapters, Gull Island Will Blow Your Mind, and If Gull Island Didn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. And after he had done this and the new edition, the updated and enlarged edition came out, he called me on the phone again one day, and he said, Lindsay, Atlantic Richfield has just hired me back. They've given me a raise. They've sent me to Dallas. I'll be helping the training of the new executives that are going to Prudhoe Bay. And he said, I have been designated as the go-between, the liaison between you and Atlantic Richfield. If they have something to say to you, I'll call you. If you have something to say to them, you call me. Well, believe you me, it got hot for a while. And we did have a lot of conversations back and forth. But this just shows how the power of the manipulative people of the face of this earth do. And then this is a story I haven't told on any other programs I've been with you, Dr. Stan. But I was on speaking tour, I think it was about 1983, 1984. I was just getting ready to leave Alaska, and Ken Fromm called me on the phone one day, and he said, Lindsay, would you like a startling fact? And I said, Ken, yes, and I know if it comes from you, it's true. He was in Dallas now. He was rubbing shoulders with the biggest, wealthiest, most powerful men on the face of this earth every day, and he said, Lindsay, the price of a barrel of oil is going from $32 to $12 a barrel. I said, Ken, come on. That can't happen. I said, it'll break the Arab world. I mean, they have a society they've created over there. I said, that couldn't possibly happen. He said, well, Lindsay, I'll tell you what you do. You just take my word for it, and if you... Are you going to be speaking
anywhere? Hold that right there. Now, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, is Lindsay Williams, and he's just telling us that he'd become very close friends with a man named Ken Fromm, and it was sometime in the early 80s when Ken called Lindsay and told him that the price of oil was going to drop from $32 a barrel down to $12 a barrel. Which, of course, would mean much lower oil prices, gasoline prices, and of course, Lindsay had said, why, that can't be true. And so what did Ken say at that point?
Well, at that point, Ken said, I said, Ken, they couldn't possibly drop prices that rapidly. And he said, sure they're going to, Lindsay. I said, how do you know? He said, now, Lindsay, come on. You know that the Arabs don't control the price of oil. And he said, you know who does this as well as I do. I mean, he gave himself away. He literally said, Lindsay, you know that there's a group of people who control the price of oil. And I said, okay, Ken, you're exactly right. They do this, don't they? And he said, yes. Well, I had a speaking tour that began in Seattle, Washington, wound up 2 or 3 months later in Southern California with speaking engagements nearly every night. And I would say this to my audiences, and at times my audiences literally broke out laughing at me. After it happened, and it literally did, the price of oil went from $32 a barrel to $10 to $12 a barrel, and the price of gold went from $800 an ounce down to about $300 an ounce in a very short period of time. All of it was manipulated by the power controllers of the world, and Ken Fromm knew months in advance that it was going to happen. And he called me on the phone and told me that night. It happened exactly like he said. My phone literally rang off the hook. People thought I was a prophet. And I said, no, I wasn't a prophet at all. All I was doing is saying what was told to me by one of the powerful controllers and manipulative people who know everything that's going on in this world. Now, watch what they did. They told the Arabs when gold went to $800 an ounce and they were making $32 a barrel on oil, they said, the power controllers of the world who had built those oil fields over there for the Arabs, who were a bunch of nothing but nomads prior to that, and they said to them, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold. Oh, they did. They bought gold by the carload, train carload, at $800 an ounce. Now, when oil went down to $11 and $12 a barrel, and they could not any longer maintain their economy, which they had established, whereby the sheiks and sheikhs ruled and reigned over the people, what did they do? They had no choice but to sell off their gold. Who did they sell it to? They sold it to the same people they bought it from. How much did they buy it for? $800 an ounce. How much did they sell it back to them for after these same people had dropped the price of oil by intentional design plan months in advance? I was told by one of the executives that they were going to do it. And they sold the gold back for $400 an ounce that they had bought for $800 an ounce. And they sold it back to the same people they bought it from, and it was all done by design in advance, months in advance. This shows the mindset of these people. Now, the average American, Dr. Stan, has a very difficult time understanding that there is such a group of despotic people on the face of the earth. Therefore, in my book, Syndrome of Control, which, by the way, people listening to the program tonight, I would like to give you this book as a gift. No, this is not a pamphlet. This is over a 200-page book, and my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, is over a 200-page book. And in just a few moments' time, these full-length books, I'd like to tell you, along with two other of my books, I feel it's so desperate in the economy of America right now with the price of a gallon of gasoline at over $2 a gallon at the gas pump, I feel desperately that I must get this information out. In a few moments, I will tell you how you can get these books. But Syndrome of Control, you must know how these people think in order to be able to combat them. And the average American can't think in those terms because the average American is honest, and most of them are Christian, many of them are Christians. But these people, they are not. They think of nothing but manipulation and control and mind manipulation. And that is why Syndrome of Control is so important, so that you can understand the mindset of these people, how they could have done it to the Arabs, how they're doing it to us today at the gas pump, how they did it to Brazil. All of this is a part of their plan.
And not only that, but what's really so tragic as far as the people of Saudi Arabia, of course you have your fabulously wealthy feudal family over there that runs at about 5,000 princes with their family. But then, of course, you have maybe 20 million people over there, and their income has gone down by two-thirds here. In fact, they were living fairly well a few years ago. I think maybe average income of $24,000 a year. Now they're making about $6,000 or $8,000 a year. These people are impoverished. They're beginning now to embrace the radical Islamic philosophy. And with that, of course, they're quite willing to die, you know, in the name of Allah. So radical fundamental Islam is coming forward. The Saudi regime is extremely unstable. If that goes down, you could expect $100 a barrel oil. And, of course, think what that'll do to the American economy. But then if you want to impoverish the American people, why, that's exactly what you'd want, isn't it? We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Lindsay Williams. And Lindsay, we're going to have to wait a couple of minutes before you tell people about how they can get copies of your book, because a lot of our audience is now listening to some of the commercials that are being played on our network across the country. So, well, let's get back, of course, to this concept that there really are people who run the world, who control the wealth of the world, who control the oil of the world, who control governments, and, of course, create wars and revolutions. I think it's so difficult for people to understand that there really are evil people in the world. Wouldn't you agree that that what motivates these people many times is this power, but even behind that is this force of darkness, of evil that they manifest?
Oh, positively. It's all satanic to the core, and of course being controlled by such a power as that, their minds are despotic. They do not think in the same terms that you and I as Christian people would think, or as the average American who is living in a free society would think. There's no way that I could have ever understood the mindset of these people had I not been there with them, lived with them, or around them for 3 years. If someone had said there's such a group of people on the face of the earth back when I had been a Baptist minister for 15 to 20 years, I would have laughed at them. Today, I know it's so. I was there. And all of my books are fact. Not one of them is fiction. All of them are fact. And Syndrome of Control, they're real-life things there. Letters from bankers. The words from Congressman George Hansen, exactly as he lived it prior to them putting him in jail and finally destroying him. All of this is a matter of fact. And so, yes, these people do exist. They literally are here today. They have meetings. Oftentimes you hear of their meetings. Our own president sometimes attends their meetings because he likewise is under the control of these people, as are our congressmen. And as you've mentioned about Congressman George Hansen, some of our congressmen are literally in fear for their jobs and for their lives. In fact, the foreword to my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, is written by Senator Hugh Chance. He was a senator of the state of Colorado, a very personal friend of mine prior to me ever going to the pipeline. And after I went up there, he said, Lindsay, I'd like to come up and spend a week with you. He did. Spent a week on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, wrote the foreword to my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, which gives it great credibility. And when he was on the pipeline, he was toured and given all the information he wanted. He was never withheld one thing from him. And I remember that day after day, for one solid week, he saw everything.
Lindsay, I'm going to have to interrupt you because we're going to bring our stations online here, and then, of course, we'll want to tell the rest of the story of Senator Hugh Chance. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and, of course, Lindsay is telling about a senator from the state of Colorado named Hugh Chance. He was a state senator who had come up on the pipeline and spent some time there with Lindsay. And then after seeing everything up there and realizing, of course, that there's massive amounts of oil up there, but they're not telling you about that, and you're not going to hear this from Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw. The last thing they want you to know is that everything is manipulated, and that, of course, they're using this oil crisis for their own advantage. And I really believe, of course, can you imagine what's going to happen when gasoline is $5 a gallon? Can you imagine what's going to happen when the price of natural gas doubles again and when the price of electricity continues going up? And, of course, this is all happening intentionally. How do we know that? Because we've read the plan. It came out of the Second Earth Summit in 1992, the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. You can buy it at your local bookstore, Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, or you can, of course, get the summary of it in our Sustainable Development Syllabus. But the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report is about $65 from your bookstore. It's 1,142 pages. It will take you 3 or 4 months to read. Or you can get the summary, which our producer, the woman who's on the telephones tonight, actually did that summary for. It took her 3 months, but she did a magnificent job of summarizing what this is all about. And what they want to do is get you out of your cars. They want you to get you out of your house. They want to make it a point where you won't be able to use your air conditioning because it'll be too expensive. They want to lower your living standards. And as it says in the book, if we're going to have all these 6 billion people on the earth, we're going to have to lower the living standards of the people of Eastern Europe. which of course is a very low living standard. The people there have been impoverished. I mean, the average income is something like $50 a month, maybe a 75 at the most. I mean, of course, it's not going to be for the elite. Believe me, the elite are always going to have their five-star hotels. They're always going to have their jets. They're always going to have their cars. But they'd like to get you out of your car and lower your living standards and redistribute your wealth. And that's what this is really all about. But they're not going to tell you that. In fact, you're not going to hear that very many places. If I could suggest you either get the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report or the Sustainable Development Syllabus from Radio Liberty. And, of course, we have a great new video on sustainable development. It'll be available in a couple of weeks. But right now, of course, we're talking about Senator Hugh Chance, and he had actually come up, he'd seen what was going on. He realized there was abundant oil. America could be energy independent. It was just a matter of getting the oil out of the ground and then building the pipelines. But that was back in the 70s. They could have built the pipelines then, and we would have had it. But you see, they didn't want a solution because they wanted to come up. They wanted the problem because they wanted their solution, not the one that would be better for the American people. So pick up the story from there, Lindsay.
Well, Dr. Stan, I had actually heard them speak of a 30-year plan. They knew in advance exactly what they were going to do. Well, the story of Senator Hugh Chance is quite interesting because, being a friend of mine prior to me going to the pipeline, he came up, spent 1 week with me, was allowed to meet with all of the top executives of the companies that were there at the time, saw everything at the oil field, and after it was all over with, he just kind of shook his head, and I'll never forget the day before he left. He said, "Lindsay, I can hardly believe what I've seen and heard today." Now, this is what he states in the foreword to my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, which he wrote. He was a state senator for the state of Colorado. And he said, "Lindsay, I can hardly believe what I've seen and heard here this week." And I said, "Senator Chance, what do you mean?" He said, "I was sitting in the Senate of the state of Colorado when the men came from Washington, D.C. to brief us as state senators as to the severity of the energy crisis."
Now, what was this about? Was this about 73, 74, or something like that?
74.
74, okay.
And he said, "Lindsay, I can hardly believe what I've seen and heard." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Nelly, everything that I was told by those men from Washington, D.C. who came to brief us was the exact opposite to what the truth really is." He said, "We were told one thing. I have seen another thing as it's been given to me by these executives of the oil companies themselves." He said, "I was intentionally misbriefed and lied to as a senator sitting in the Senate of the state of Colorado by the men who came from Washington, D.C. to brief us as state senators." Now, they're still doing the same things today. You say, "Well, why don't our congressmen open up all of that oil up there instead of talking about the strategic oil reserves and all of these other things, taking it out of the salt domes and all that sort of thing?" Why? Because the congressmen are intentionally misbriefed. Oftentimes, they do not even know the truth. That's what Senator Hugh Chance states in the foreword to my book. Now, there are many facets to this control factor, and that's the reason that I have produced numerous videos. For instance, let's take one just slightly away from the oil crisis, for instance, for a moment. Let's take the subject of vaccinations. You say, "Well, is that a part of a control factor?" You better believe it is. Listen to Dr. Dennis Turnbull, who had studied cancer for 30 years. He said, "I have no hesitation in stating, in my judgment, that the most frequent disposing condition of cancerous development is infused into the blood by vaccination and revaccination." Dr. W.B. Clark of Indiana says, "Cancer was practically unknown until compulsory vaccination with cowpox vaccine began to be introduced. I have had to deal with at least 200 cases of cancer, and I never saw a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person." Yes, vaccinations, as much as the American people may say, "Well, what does it have to do with it?" It is a part of their control factor. Again, deadly diseases, the new microbial mutations, the overuse of antibiotics. You say, "Is all of this a part of it?" Get my one-hour video tape on deadly new diseases, and it will startle you. The American farmer, what's happening to them? Oh, yes, the family farm is disappearing fast. Why? It's all a part of their design plan to have big corporate farms and to do away with the little person out there. Therefore, a Hollywood studio came to me one day, and they said, "Lindsay, we'd like to produce a video on the family farm and what's happening. You can never tell who produced it for you." They wrote their own musical score, went all over America, did the most professional video you've ever seen, handed me a master copy and said, don't you ever tell who did this for you, but get it out to everyone you can. It is a masterful story, done in Hollywood style, torn from the land as a videotape. I have been my videotape, Energy Non-Crisis. Now, here's what I'd like to do. I have four books, The Energy Non-Crisis, my book Syndrome of Control, which we've dealt with tonight, a full-length book entitled To Seduce a Nation, another full-length book that is a large book, big library-sized book, 263 pages, entitled You Can Live. If you went to the store and bought these, you'd pay over $35 just for the books alone. I feel such an urgency because of what's happening in America today. I would like to give you as a gift all four of these books when you purchase any one of my videotapes. Now, buy all four videotapes, and you'll get four sets of books. You can give them out to others. And someone asked me the other day, are your videotapes copywritten? No, they aren't. Copy that videotape. Use it. Just don't sell it, please. That wouldn't be right. But you copy my videotapes, give them to everybody you can, give out all four sets of those books if you can get all four videotapes. The tapes are only $25 each, plus shipping and handling. And I'd like to give you a set of all four of my books as a gift with every videotape that you get so that you can, someone said the other day, what can we do? I said, number one, you must document the facts. You must know what you're talking about. Well, you can do that with my four books. Secondly, prepare. Once you realize what's happening to you, you will want to take action against the power controllers of this world. And all you need to do is just call this number. There'll be operators standing by yet even tonight. Please call 800-321-2900. That's 800-321-2900. Let me give you all four of my books as a gift with any and all of the videotapes that you get.
Well, I think that's great. And we were going to get me a copy of that, Torn from the Land. I thought we might do a series of programs on that.
Yes, Dr. Stan, that videotape is on its way. You should receive it any day. And if there's ever a story that is heartbreaking, it's what's happening to the American family farmer. They're being destroyed, and it is all done again by a design plan of the very people who are charging you over $2 a gallon at the gas pump for your gasoline.
Well, I think we may look back on the $2 or $2.50 a gallon gasoline as the good old days, because everything suggests we're moving into uncertain times in the Middle East with the Saudis over there, and then, of course, in Venezuela, which where we get about 5% of our oil. Why? Because this is a very unstable area with the agitation against Chavez, who is the Marxist dictator, but he was elected. He was legitimately elected. Apparently, the power structure down there is intent upon getting rid of him, and whether he will have a fair election, and if he loses, if he'll transfer power, I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. But certainly, Venezuela's cut back significantly on the oil production, it may very well be that if there's a stable government, the oil production will come back. Or if the place goes into chaos, it will be reflected at our gas pumps here in the United States. So the problem is they have effectively blocked oil drilling here in the United States, drilling for gas, natural gas in the United States. They have effectively blocked, in many instances, the use of coal. We have plenty of coal, which can be burned absolutely with almost no emissions. But the biggest thing is they've effectively blocked the development of nuclear power. Every place else in the world, in France, in Europe, they predominantly get their power from nuclear power plants. Oh, we can't have nuclear power plants. We don't know what to do with the spent fuel rods. They will tell us over and over again. Well, what does everybody else in the world do with them? Why, they reprocess them. They reprocess them, and they can get the nuclear power out of it, and there's not the residual, very, very little residual. They say from a major nuclear power plant for a year, when you get all done, you'll have something about the size of a card table. That would be all that you would have. It would be very easy to store. They don't want a solution. They want the problem, and they have effectively blocked the reprocessing here, because they do not want this, and they have lied to the American people. The average individual has no idea you can reprocess those rods. They will never tell you that, because they want you to believe that it's, oh, it's just too expensive, and it's not expensive at all. It's very, very cheap. The reason it's expensive is because the environmentalists, funded in many cases by the great oil corporations and by the great banks and by the media and by the foundations, the environmental movement has blocked the development of nuclear power, so we would continue to be dependent upon oil and natural gas. What a great scam it is, and the average American has no idea that this is all planned by our invisible rulers. Well, Lindsay, you know, of course, you've gone all over the United States talking about this and talking about your book, Syndrome of Control, which is the story of the elite that rules the world. That's a pretty hard thing for the average individual to believe, at least here in the United States. And yet I believe that throughout the rest of the world, most people really understand what's going on. It's just the people here in the United States who never have access to this information, or anybody who talks like this is immediately put into the category, oh, he probably believes in black helicopters, and he probably believes there was a conspiracy behind the murder of John Kennedy, you know. And they say it in such a demeaning manner. That's what of course, Rush Limbaugh is paid so much to do, is to demean anybody who talks about the fact that there is a power elite, because he works with a power elite. He makes an awful lot of money. He's one of the finest talk show hosts that money can buy. So, well, Lindsay, what sort of response do you get today as you begin to try to get this message out about the control, about the phony energy crisis? Have you been getting calls from other stations or networks to get the message out?
Dr. Stan, this is one of the hottest subjects right now that I have seen in years. The American people are beginning to wake up merely because of the price of that gallon of gasoline at the gas pump. But, you know, if someone had said this to me years ago, I would have had trouble believing it also. So don't feel bad if somehow in the back of your mind you say, I wonder if this guy is really for real. Now, when you get my book, Syndrome of Control, and then when you see that the foreword to my book, Energy Non-Crisis, is written by a state senator, and when you hear what is here, yes, it positively is for real. I know. I rubbed shoulders with them. I was there. I sat in their board meetings. I lived in the dorms where they did for 3 years. I know positively that there are a group of people on the face of the earth who are controlling the world, and if you and I think that we're paying a price for gasoline today at over $2 a gallon, you haven't seen anything yet. Mm-hmm. In my estimation, I believe that we could easily go to $3 to $4 a gallon. All it would take is one oil refinery to have some sort of sabotage, an oil pipeline to give a problem, Saudi Arabia to have another major problem, the Middle East to erupt, which it's about ready to. Be prepared, people. You definitely are headed for some times that are unusual, and unless you know the issues and the fact and can prove them, please let me give you a copy of all four of my books. Just call 800-321-2900, and with any of my videotapes, all four of them, all one of them, I'd like to give you an entire set of my books. 800-321-2900. It is for real, and what Dr. Stan is saying on his programs is true. I know. I was there.
Well, I think it is certainly one of the most incredible stories in the world. And for our listeners out there who didn't hear earlier, I tracked down one of the gentlemen that Lindsay has talked about and talked to him, and he confirmed exactly what Lindsay has said about this great pool of oil up there off the North Slope. But you're not going to hear about that. You don't want to know there's a solution, because they don't want you to know there's a solution. That's how they can control you. And the problem we have is we do not have the free flow of information in this country. Yes, we do have the alternative media. Yes, we do have the internet now. But you have to be so careful, because the other side uses this as well. They have their so-called conservative talk show hosts. They have their websites up on the internet that are going to give you all sorts of false information. And the one thing you're going to have to learn is who you can trust. And believe me, there are not that many people out there. There's some that I believe are really very honest and straightforward and do their homework. But there are many, I believe, that are probably getting a regular government check for doing exactly what they're supposed to do. And that is put out disinformation to discredit those of us who are trying to get out the truth. Well, Lindsay, we've just got about 3 or 4 minutes here. And incidentally, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-888 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Lindsay, is there anything additional you'd like to have? We've got about 4 or 5 minutes before we have to let you go.
Well, I would urge the listening audience to be prepared. There are some definite things that you need to do. Be ready for the increase of this price of a gallon of gasoline, because it could at any moment go up again. Know the issues about the mindset of these people and what they're doing. And then when you know all of this, then you can make your own master plan as to what you can do. But without knowing the mindset of these people, it is impossible to prepare for your own life. So thank you for allowing me the privilege to give you a book. When you get any one of my videotapes, it will help you to prepare your lifestyle.
Well, I think that people are going to have to get out of debt. They're going to have to begin looking and seeing what will happen as we go into, I think, a temporary inflationary spiral, and then probably a few years from that, why a deflationary spiral. We live in very uncertain terms. My major concern is that they're going to wipe out the middle class in this country and create increasing social discord, economic discord, and really, it's going to be such a terrible tragedy that people have put their whole life savings, into various investments. That's just not going to hold up. If they're tied into some sort of monetary increment, like an annuity, like CDs, insurance plans are going to give you some sort of an income, I very much fear that the things we put our confidence in the past are going to cease to be valid, because I believe we're moving into a very new and very difficult and very different times. Well, Lindsay, I'll give you about 2 minutes here to wrap up this evening's program.
Well, Dr. Stan, I am so excited about talk show hosts like you who are willing to speak out and give forth the truth. And I would say to our listening audience, listen to him, and congratulations for the amazing job you're doing. And together, we will help the American people to wake up. You know, there's one wonderful thing about all of this, and that is there's more of us than there are of them. And if we can ever see enough Americans wake up, and they are, you asked a moment ago, are you seeing people become interested positively? Are you seeing radio talk show hosts? Oh, my goodness. I would almost guarantee that I was back in the early 80s again, in the day and time when I was doing sometimes 2 and 3 radio talk shows a day. And the other day, there were 2 talk shows in one day. Why? The American people's pocketbook's beginning to hurt. And as people oftentimes say, if you want to get a person's attention, get it through their pocketbook. And that's exactly what's happening. What used to cost $15 to $20 to fill up that gas tank is costing $30 and $40 now to do it.
All right, we've got Dale on the line, probably only got a minute. Dale, quick question.
Very quick question. I was wondering, essentially, if the World Bankers are doing the same thing to the American people with lowering the interest rates, essentially making people a fool for not refinancing for another 30 years. Are they doing the same thing as they did with Brazil? I'll take your answer off the air.
Yes, you're exactly right. It's one of the biggest traps in the world, and especially if you have a variable rate house mortgage. These people have taken the interest rate to where it is, and then when they collapse the economy and the money, that's what they did to oil prices. And then the Arabs had to sell that that gold back that they bought for $800 an ounce. They had to sell it back to $400 an ounce. The American people have fallen for the trap. And now they're stuck with these houses of 30-year mortgages, and what's going to happen when the economy goes down and they have everything, mortgage to the hilt and credit cards to the hilt? Yes, the identical same trap is happening to the American that happened over there, that happened to Brazil, that happened to the Arabs, and we have fallen for it, and God have mercy on us.
Amen. Well, thanks very much for being with us, Lindsay. It's always a pleasure, and until next time, I think we have you on again here real soon. My good night, and may the Lord be with you.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Lindsay Williams, and we'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent on those of you who believe in what we do. to help us. If you believe that there's a problem, if you believe that we're a voice, we have about 60 outlets of one sort or another every single week. And whether that would be shortwave or regular radio stations, or whether it would be internet, or whether it would be satellite, at least we have the opportunity to reach people. And of course, if you want to be part of our team, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You need to learn how they control the American people. Now, we have a four-tape set on mind control. Of course, there are other more sophisticated forms of mind control that the CIA has been experimenting on in a long period of time. And if you've never, of course, read the book, The Transformation of America, it's the terrible story. It really is a terrible story. And I wish that we didn't even have to offer it. But I think it's important you realize the degree of evil that exists within the upper echelons of our government. It's the story of a girl who was sold into slavery to the CIA and to be experimented on. Now, if you read the book, The Transformation of America, you're going to say, could this really be true? Well, we have another book written by a psychiatrist, Dr. Colin Ross, called Operation Bluebird. Operation Bluebird was, like so many of the other CIA functions, you know, the Operation Naomi and Operation Artichoke, Operation MK Ultra, and these were all various forms of mind control, as the CIA wanted to find out how they could control the minds of individuals and masses. And they've been working along with the Tavistock Institute over in Great Britain for many years, and today they know how to condition the minds of the American people, how to turn us off and turn us on, to make us fearful, to make us angry, to make us emotional, and of course how they will get us to make irrational decisions and to believe things that just aren't true. So I suggest the books, The Transformation of America, Operation Bluebird. We actually have from the Senate of the United States at least copies of their report on the MK Ultra. The CIA tried to shred all the copies. The last thing they wanted for the American people to know was what was really going on with their mind control experiments on helpless individuals. Some of them they killed. But you can actually, we have that available and we actually have something else called the Rockefeller Committee Report, which came out over the name of Senator Jay Rockefeller. And this was a report on all the experiments they'd done, not only on American servicemen without their knowledge, but on the American citizenry without their knowledge. Hundreds of thousands of people experimented on here in America. And this report came out. The U.S. Publishing Office only printed 35 copies for the entire country. And when I talked to the man in charge, he said, well, they were just so expensive to print, and that's why we didn't print a lot of them. Well, we bought 25 of them, and of course now we simply print it up here. The Rockefeller Report is something you need to read. It goes into the Gulf War syndrome, the fact that 40% of the wives of the sick Gulf War veterans themselves are sick, because about 40% of the Gulf War veterans have an infectious disease we brought home, and we call it chronic fatigue. Of course, chronic fatigue existed long before the Gulf War, but it is an infectious disease, and they know that. They just don't want the American people to realize it's the product of another one of their macabre experiments. So let me suggest the Rockefeller Committee Report. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Listen to our programs there, 5 hours a day on the Internet. And, of course, we are 4 hours a day on shortwave. Tell other people about our programs. Encourage them to listen and join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived on Christian principles can long endure. Until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again. This is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you, and reminding you one more time the number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is at war. America is under attack today.